VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Crosstalk on VCY America. Friends, we thank you for joining us for a topic today, a little different than a lot of topics that we carry in the program, but still an issue of great concern to many, many individuals. Anxiety, fear, and worry grip many a heart. I mean, we're anxious about things happening within our families, our jobs, our health, the economy, relationships, our churches, politics, even society as a whole. So often we dwell on, you know, all the what-ifs of life instead of what is and the fact that God is. Did you know that in the King James Bible that the words fear not occur some 63 times? Did you know that the Bible tells us to take no thought for our life, what we should eat or drink or what we should put on, because our Heavenly Father knows that we have need of all these things and He's going to care for us? Did you know the Bible tells us we should cast all our care upon Him, for He careth for you? Are you aware that the Bible tells us to be still and know that I am God? Well, friends, when we know all these things, then why does worry or anxiety have such a grip upon our lives? How can it pull us away from the joy and the hope that awaits us? Well, our guest today has written a book that helps us put anxiety in its place and be able to cultivate a nearness to God that brings contentment whatever the circumstances. Today, we welcome back to Crosstalk Robert J. Morgan. He is leader of Robert J. Morgan Ministries. That's a nonprofit organization whose goal is to energize God's people with greater understanding and appreciation of the Bible and Christian heritage. He served in the pastoral ministry for over 40 years and is a best-selling author with over 35 books in print. He's been with us several times here on Crosstalk, talking about some of his books, Then Sings My Soul, The Red Sea Rules, Jordan River Rules, 100 Bible Verses That Made America, The 50 Events, Final Events in World History, and Great Is Thy Faithfulness. But with us today, discussing his book, Calm Your Anxiety, Winning the Fight Against Worry. And Pastor Robert, good to have you with us here on Crosstalk.
Oh, thank you. So good to hear your iconic voice again, Jim. Thank you for inviting me.
So let's begin by defining the term. When you speak of anxiety, define that for us.
Well, there are so many different kinds of anxieties, a wide range of ways of describing that. But we describe it most of all in a very visceral way. We get tense, we worry, we get anxious, we fret. Sometimes our minds are just obsessed with various fears. Someone said that worry is a small trickle of fear that meanders through the mind until it cuts a channel into which all the other thoughts are drained.
Wow.
So anxiety is just a dis-ease of the mind, D-I-S-E-ase, a dis-ease of the mind when we are troubled. Then there's many different ranges of that, but I think all of us know what it is when we feel
right
down in our gut.
So how big a problem is anxiety in society today?
Well, some people, you know, they say about 25% of the people have a chronic or a clinical anxiety, but every one of us have things that we worry about. It is a 100% problem.
Mm-hmm.
The totality of the human race seems to be having just one giant panic attack right now.
Yeah.
When you look out at the globe. And it's something, even though I've been a Christian for many decades, I still battle anxiety. I think some of us may be genetically predisposed to worry more than others, and I think I'm one of those people. But every one of us go through seasons when we feel this dis-ease of the mind and heart.
So how did the national lockdown during the pandemic contribute to this anxiety?
Well, it created a lot of extra stress, extra loneliness, extra uncertainty. I'm sure that it had a lot to do with our global anxiety, but it wasn't just the fact that we had a pandemic. It's the fact that for the first time in our lifetimes, we realized that one little bug getting out of a lab somewhere in the world could annihilate the whole human race.
Yeah.
And it just showed the globe of how terminal we are without some kind of solid eternal hope, which is found in the Bible.
Robert J. Morgan is with us today, author of Calm Your Anxiety. Now, Pastor Morgan, you served in pastoral ministry for over four decades, and some would say certainly a pastor cannot be beset by anxiety, can he? But you write this book from personal experience.
Oh, I worry a lot. I still do. And it's one of the reasons why I did all of the research in the Bible about this subject that allowed me to write the book. It's a therapy for me to go into the scriptures and to find the verses that there are there, and there are so many of them about peace and joy and rejoicing. And there are some powerful anti-anxiety and anti-worry verses in the Bible and tremendous truths behind them. So, yes, I struggle with this. I admit that I do. But I also want to hasten to say that I found the Bible gives us some wonderful medicines for our hearts and for our minds.
And what you have found therapeutic for yourself, Brother Morgan, is such that has been a help to so many. I mean, as I go through this book, what a help to the reader your book is. In the early pages of your book, you actually bring up the Apostle Paul. Was he confronted with this issue?
Yes, I think that he was. If you read carefully in the Bible, he was a very high-strung man. And in one occasion in the book of 2 Corinthians, he was very, very, very worried about one particular issue. And he says very honestly that he went to the city of Troas, and the Lord had opened a great door of ministry for him, but he was unable to do anything about it because he didn't have any peace of mind because of this concern that he had. So that would give us a sense that Paul was one of the many people in the Bible who dealt with anxiety. You know, Jim, the whole Bible is populated by people who had to deal with worry.
Yes.
And the stories of the heroes of the Bible are stories of people who dealt with worries and learned to bring their burdens to the Lord.
Friends, we're talking with Robert J. Morgan, his book, Calm Your Anxiety. And if you're one, as many people are, filled with anxiety, wondering, you know, what's going to happen, and we get our mind taken off perhaps from the Lord and focus on circumstances and just kind of get caught, in this rut here where it neutralizes us, wow, what a tremendous book that's going to be a help to you. And in this book, Robert Morgan goes through just a number of habits to incorporate in our lives. And the first one that you deal with is the habit of joy. You write that one step toward overcoming anxiety is cultivating an attitude of rejoicing. Address that topic for us, if you would.
Well, this is a passage. It's the primary definitive passage of the aforementioned Apostle Paul on the subject of worry. It's found in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verses 4 through 8 especially, and he's going to tell us not to be anxious about anything. But he begins that paragraph by saying, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice." And it's an incredible thing to realize that the Christian, the person who knows Christ and knows something about the Bible, can make a choice when he wakes up or she wakes up in the morning to say, "This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice in it." And we have reasons to be afraid, but we have better reasons to rejoice.
Yeah.
And so one of the things I had to learn was to begin to shift my melancholy personality into one that practiced the disciplines and the habits of joy.
Yeah, and something I want to point out, I mean, because sometimes we just don't feel like rejoicing. But and you just said a moment ago, and you say it in your book, rejoicing is not only a command we obey, but a choice we make. And that's important to understand.
I tell about a time when I was very beset by some terrible problems, and I was flying back into town. I had to deal with them. I was very downhearted. But I opened my Bible and found a verse about joy, and then I saw another one, and by the time I finished, I'd listed down 15 Bible verses about joy. And it's as though the Lord said to me, "Now, if you go back and you are discouraged and down in the dumps, this thing is going to fall apart. But if you get off that airplane and smile and you trust me and you say, I'm going to be joyful, and you go back into that situation, then it'll take care of itself." And, you know, I just made up my I learned in that experience to make up my mind to go back into the situation with the joy of the Lord. And Nehemiah chapter 8 says, "The joy of the Lord is our strength.
Amen. Amen. And I'm going to park here for a bit on this matter of rejoicing because it's very important. And you mentioned, you have various illustrations in your book, but you mentioned the very first time in the Bible where we see rejoice in the Lord is really uttered by a woman named Hannah. What's going on with her?
She had a great sense of oppression because of family dysfunction. And she took it to the Lord to Shiloh. She went to Shiloh, to the tabernacle. She prayed very earnestly. And then when she finished praying, she'd given the problem to the Lord. It says that she got up and her face, her countenance was different. She ate something. And a short time later, she was saying, "My soul rejoices in the Lord." And she is the one who created that. She coined that phrase, rejoice in the Lord, which Paul later used in the book of Philippians. So it goes all the way back to the story of Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter 1 and 2.
And there's another situation that you bring up in your book, too, and it's from the pen of David. He had been involved in some pretty devastating sin.
Well, and he regained the joy of his salvation. Mm-hmm. That's what it says in Psalm 51. And also the prophet Habakkuk said at the very end of his book, some people aren't familiar with it, but he said, even though there are no grapes on the vine or olives on the tree, I will rejoice in the Lord.
Yeah.
He made up his mind just to be joyful, even though nothing was working out in his life. And I learned a lot, Jim, from these examples. And then when the Apostle Paul picks up the same phrase in Philippians, that's the only time in the New Testament that phrase is used, but it comes from the Old Testament.
Wow.
That tells me Paul had been studying the Old Testament. He had found that phrase by David and by Hannah and by Habakkuk, and he had made it his own. And he told us, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice.
And friends, you're going to see an emphasis on this in this book. One other last question on this, because we're going to be looking at some other habits in the book, but we often dwell in our besetting circumstances, but you provide list of things that we can rejoice in. It's a discipline really for our minds to think this way, isn't it?
Yes, it really is. I tell people that if you cannot rejoice in your load, you can rejoice in your Lord. And we have to learn to rejoice in his presence, in his pardon of our sins, in his provision, in his protection, in his guidance of us, in his promises about the future, and the fact that all things are going to work together for good to those who love the Lord, and the eternal life that he has for us, and the Bible's description of heaven. We just need to bathe our minds with the things of the Lord, and it lifts us up sometimes out of our present distressing circumstances, and it helps us to rejoice in the Lord.
Amen. Well, friends, that is just one of the disciplines that this book talks about, but really helps you to think about rejoicing in the Lord in perhaps ways you've never thought of before. We're just seconds away from the break, so we'll be taking the break and coming back and talking about some other habits that need to be formed in our life to calm our anxiety. I talk to a lot of people through the course of the days and weeks, months and years, and friends, there is much anxiety that is present, and it happens. And what a wonderful book, a wonderful tool to be utilized even to come alongside in your personal quiet time with the Lord and focus in on dealing with this anxiety and how to calm your anxiety. We'll be sharing with you also how you can obtain a copy of this book. So stay with us. We'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, Creation Seminar speaker at the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, any evidence for creation from the solar system?
Yes, there are, Chris. In fact, quite a few. One of the ICR physicists, Dr. Russ Humphreys, made a prediction a few years ago before the exploration of Jupiter by satellite. He had developed a theory of the magnetic field of planets in the solar system based on the Bible. And the satellite found the evidence fit his model and not the evolutionary model of long ages. In particular, Europa, one of the moons of Jupiter, has an Earth-like magnetic field, but it's tilted 80 degrees away from the spin axis. This pretty much proves that the magnetic field is not produced by fluid currents in the moon's interior, as is postulated by long-agers for Earth. As a matter of fact, the Earth's dipole magnetic field is decaying so fast, soon it's going to be gone. It couldn't be the result of events millions of years ago, and that's the Back to Genesis truth.
Thanks for tuning in to Back to Genesis.
Calm your anxiety, winning the fight against worry. Friends, it is a powerful book that deals with this topic of anxiety. We're going to be talking more through the book and some of the habits to be built in our life, but I would like to mention that our VCY bookstore has chosen this as one of their featured books of the month. It is brand new released called Calm Your Anxiety. Its retail is $19.99 plus tax and shipping on top of that. However, it's a big however, folks, through September 30th, 2023, the last day of this month, the VCY bookstore has reduced the cost of this book 50% off for just $9.99 plus any applicable tax and shipping. It's available at VCY.com, or by calling 1-888-722-4829, 1-888-722-4829, half off, but that ends on September 30th. So take advantage of that even right now. Robert J. Morgan is with us here today on Crosstalk and dealing with calming your anxiety. And you write about another habit, the habit of dependence. What do you mean by that?
It means that we have to take our burdens to the Lord and depend on Him to help us. Another word is rely. The Bible says we are to rely on His word. It says about Abraham in Romans chapter 4 that he was fully persuaded that God had the ability to do what he had said. And Paul said in Philippians chapter 4 that we must be anxious about nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving present our requests to God. Jim, there are many situations that we cannot resolve. They are impossible for us. So we can do the possible, but we have to leave the impossible to God and to learn to trust Him. And one of the verses I go back to again and again is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart.
And wow, how powerful that is for us. There are so many examples, both from history and from the scriptures themselves, of people who went to prayer just in utter dependence upon God. You mentioned Abraham. Anybody else come to your mind?
Well, the famous Christian humanitarian, George Mueller, who started the wonderful orphanage ministry in Bristol, England, once said, "I would have gone insane if I did not know that I could trust the promises that God had written down in the Bible." Yeah. And I just love that phrase, because it tells us that we can either live in insanity, the insanity of the world around us, or we can trust the God who's given us promises in those Bibles, in the Bible, and the promises cover every aspect of our lives. So we have to go into the Scripture, find those promises, claim them, and then trust God to do as He has said.
You write about everyday prayer, through-the-day prayer, and D-day prayer. What is the difference between these?
Well, everyday prayer is the morning or evening prayer time that we ought to have with the Lord every day. I was taught back 50 years ago, a half century ago, to wake up every morning, go to my desk, and spend a few moments in Bible study and prayer, and start my day in that way. We called it a quiet time. And for some people, it might be in the evening. For some people, it might be during their lunch hour. Everybody's got a different schedule. But Jesus said, when you pray, go into your closet, shut the door, and talk to your Father who is in secret, indicating that we ought to have a personal appointment, just us and God, to read His Word and to pray every day. Through the day prayer is the awareness that the Lord is with us wherever we go. And when we wake up in the morning, He's there. When we go to the office, when we play golf, when we play tennis, when we go to school, when we have a difficult meeting, when we're in the doctor's office, the Lord is right there with us, and we can turn and talk to Him at any time, just as we would speak to a friend. D-Day prayers are those special times of prayer during emergency situations. which just calls us to fall on our knees and to beseech God for what we need. So there are different kinds of prayers for different people and different occasions, mm-hmm. but it all is a matter of just having open lines of communication to the Lord so that we can cast our burden on Him because He cares for us.
Oh, He sure does. And, you know, as you were talking there, I couldn't help but think of Nehemiah, who we see so many just sentence prayers that come from him, even when he was first approached by the king. You know, why was his countenance sad? And it says, so I prayed to the God of heaven, and he spoke before the king. And so often throughout Nehemiah, we see that, you know, those through-the-day prayers coming from his lips.
Yes, well, Nehemiah is a great example because he also has some longer prayers.
Yes.
There were times when he would write out his prayer and have a written prayer, which we have the record of in his book. But other times, as you said, he would just lift his eyes to heaven, or even without that, in his mind, he would whisper a prayer mm-hmm. before some important conversation. And, you know, Jim, I've made mistakes. It might be a purchase. It might be an agreement. Because I didn't pause and pray before I did them. And so, what it says in Philippians chapter 4 is, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition, present your request to God. So one of the ways we deal with our worries is learning how to transfer our concerns to the throne of grace through the techniques and the realities of prayer.
Well, let's look at another habit you write about. It's called the habit of nearness. And I read that and I thought, boy, this is even coupled with dependence, isn't it?
It is. And this is going back to this key passage that I'm talking about in the book, Philippians 4. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Mm. Do not be anxious about anything.
Yeah.
So the command, do not be anxious about anything, is coupled with that statement of fact that the Lord is near. Now, some people think that the meaning in Paul's mind was the Lord's coming is near. It seems more likely that he especially had in mind the fact that the Lord's presence is near. Maybe he was thinking of the Old Testament phrase that the Lord will never leave us or forsake us.
Yeah.
Or for the New Testament phrase, Jesus said, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. But if we had a clear knowledge of the powerful, encompassing, enveloping presence of our mighty Savior in us and around us all the time, then that would certainly diminish our capacity to worry.
And I so appreciate, and because you give us so many verses in your book, and you even share many what you call the nearness verses, the presence verses, and the with verses. Just define those for us, if you would.
The Bible has so many different ways of conveying to us that the Lord is near. There are verses that says that he is near. Psalm 73 says, the nearness of my God is my good. There are verses that use the preposition with, such Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not, for I am with thee.
Mm-hmm.
There are verses about God's presence. His presence is with us. So you can find various kinds of vernacular or nomenclature about it in the Bible, but it's as though the Lord just wants to tell us in so many different ways that he is everywhere in an ultimate sense, and he is very near in a personal sense.
Friends,
and when we find that, it's very encouraging.
It is encouraging, and friends, we're really scratching the surface. There's so much content in each of these chapters, but it giving you an overview, and another chapter you write is the habit of gratitude. And I'm reading this, and I said, Robert, don't you know that grumbling and complaining seem to come a whole lot easier?
Well, they do to me.
Yeah.
But, you know, what Paul said in this key passage, Philippians 4, is do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation with prayer and petition and with thanksgiving or gratitude, present your request to God. He didn't say grumbling there. Now, sometimes in my prayers, I do grumble, and I think that's all right. Some of the Bible characters did too. But we do have to learn to move from grumbling to gratitude, because in any given situation, We can look around and see all the things that are going wrong, but we can also look around and say, a lot of things are going wrong, but at least I can be thankful for this, and I can be thankful for this, and we can find a number of things in whatever situation it is for which to be thankful. And as we thank the Lord for those things, then the overall situation comes into better perspective.
And friends, the chapters go much, develops this even further. And many things we could say about this matter of gratitude that time is not going to permit us to get into. But Brother Morgan, you make some very important suggestions, like keeping a Thanksgiving list. And I like this suggestion in particular that you make: before you fall asleep at night, thank God for three things that happened during the day.
I've been practicing that for a number of years. I read it somewhere, and I can't remember where, in some biography or autobiography or something about a person that did that, and I began practicing it, because when we go to bed, the last things we are thinking about are what we will be prone to be processing in our subconscious mind while we're asleep. Mm. So I always try to go to bed meditating on Scripture and giving, reminding myself of three things. And I do that because it's very specific, and I think back through the day, and I say, Lord, today, thank you for this, thank you for this, and thank you for this. And it really affects the way we sleep if we go to bed on the right note.
Robert Morgan is with us here today. Calm Your Anxiety is the book, and just these different habits or disciplines in our lives that can be incorporated dealing with this matter of anxiety. And perhaps, friends, you deal with this matter of anxiety or know somebody who does. It may be a spouse. It may be a parent. It may be someone that you come in contact with. The book will really help to have victory over this area. Again, we'll be sharing in just a bit how you can obtain the copy of a book, this book, at a very significant discount. But let's talk about another habit you address in calming your anxiety, and that's the habit of thinking. Thinking about what?
Well, thinking about whatever is right, true. This is coming again, Jim, from Philippians 4. The verse says, do not be anxious about anything, but pray about everything, and the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds. And furthermore, whatever is right, whatever is just, whatever is true, whatever is lovely, whatever is praiseworthy, whatever is excellent, think about these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Anxiety and worry and fretting are mental. They happen in our minds, and then they spread through our physical bodies and through our personalities. So if we can learn to shift our thoughts, then that's going to have a tremendous impact on our bodies and on our personalities.
Yeah, yeah. Friends, we do encourage you to obtain copies of this book. Let me just give you the information here again. Normally, it's $19.99. It's just brand new, suggested retail value. Our bookstore, through September 30th, is making it available at half off, just $9.99 plus any applicable tax and or shipping. It's available at vcy.com, vcy.com. You may reach out to the bookstore, 1-888-722-4829, 1-888-722-4829. For those of you in Southeast Wisconsin, you can stop by the bookstore, 107th and Capitol Drive on Milwaukee's northwest side, and stop and get your copies there as well. We're going to take a quick break and come back to just a few more of these habits to put in your life. We'll also give you opportunity to call in on the program here in a short while. So stay with us. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. And, you know, friends, it may be worth getting multiple copies of this so that not only you have one for yourself, but you can share with others during their time of need as well. We'll be back in 1 minute. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
It happens to many. You go through life on cruise control until the phone rings indicating a tragedy has occurred. Maybe you visit the doctor and receive devastating news. Or perhaps a spouse or family member is suddenly taken. You feel like the rug has been pulled out from underneath you and your life forever changed. What do we do when our normal is gone? In the book, A New Normal, Dr. Les Olala guides the reader through four biblical steps when your normal is suddenly taken away. you'll learn that God doesn't intend to harm you with these events and circumstances, but rather His plan is to perfect you and to strengthen your faith. One copy of A New Normal is available for a donation of $10, 3 copies for $24, or 5 copies for a donation of $35. Call 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
You know, friends, my mind goes back to that song we learned in Sunday school. Why worry when you can pray? Trust Jesus, He'll be your stay. Don't be a doubting Thomas. Rest fully on His promise. Why worry, 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 worry when you can pray? Robert Morgan is with us today, and sometimes we live just the opposite. Why pray when you can worry, Robert?
We do, and I'm guilty of that sometimes. Mm-hmm. It takes a determination to deal with anxiety and with worry.
Yeah.
From a biblical perspective, and to see it as something that is imperfect in our lives that can be dealt with by the Lord and by the Holy Spirit. But we don't have to stay in a state of anxiety or worry.
Yeah.
We can come to a point of faith and trust and peace and joy and victory. And it may always be somewhat of a struggle, but it doesn't need to be one in which we are always failing. We can be victorious.
You also call write about the habit of influence. That needs a little explaining. What do you mean by that, habit of influence?
Well, from the same passage, Paul goes on to say, and the things that you have seen or heard or read about from me, put these into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Mm. So Paul is saying, you know, I once was a lot more anxious than I am now. I have learned. I have grown. If you will watch me, you will find how to overcome anxiety. And I found it very useful when I find someone who knows how to handle life better, who's had experience from the Lord, who seems to be able to handle stress in a way that shows that he or she is a person of faith, to go and say, what's your secret? What did you learn? What can I learn from you about trusting the Lord with this situation? Would you pray with me? And that kind of influence can just be invaluable. Jim, even books that I read about Christians, autobiographies of Christians that have just passed away, but they've left behind a record. And I read that, and I see how they've trusted the Lord in various crises of their lives. And even that helps me a great deal. I learn from that.
Friends, again, we can't go deep dive into each of these topics here, but you'll find it in the book. And what's encouraging as well, you find so much scripture throughout the book as well to help. And you can just read through this book and just feel your stress levels decline because you've got a changed focus. You also write about the habit of gentleness. How does gentleness help to calm your anxiety?
I'm just going back to that passage again in Philippians 4. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious. So I thought a great deal. Why did Paul include gentleness there? But it really is self-evident. When we are upset and tense and worried and maybe angry and irritable, everybody's anxiety goes up. But when we deal with things gently, a soft answer, we just take a deep breath and deal with things, then everybody's anxiety goes down. Mm. We have the ability to affect the climate in which others live. And some people live in a very difficult environment at home or maybe in the office or at school because there's some difficult people there. But if we are not difficult, we can be strong. But if we are gentle in our demeanor, then it lowers the anxiety level in which we live our lives amid relationships.
I'm going to propel us to your last habit that you list in the book, the habit of peace. And I can just hear some people asking, peace? How can I have peace when I have so much anxiety? I have so much to worry about.
This Philippians 4 passage has very interesting phrases, two of them. It says that if we will be anxious for nothing, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present our requests to God, then the peace of God will be with us. And then he goes on to say, if you will think about the things that are lovely and right and trustworthy and excellent, then the God of peace will be with you. So we have both the peace of God and the God of peace. And my mind goes back to what Jesus said in John chapter 14, let not your hearts be troubled. And he said in verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid.
You know, I can remember a very traumatic incident that happened in my life while I was in college, and a fellow believer came up to me and said, Jim, he said, I want you to know some verses from Scripture, from Isaiah 26, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Pastor Morgan, that was such a comfort to me at that time. And here, a couple years ago, I was laying in the hospital bed and not in the best way. And I remember I had one of my sons who I had shared that verse with as well, sent that back to me as a text with a reminder of that perfect peace as we keep our minds stayed on him, that peace really does have a calming effect for us.
I found that same verse in college. That's when I learned Isaiah 26, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. And as strange as it is, just yesterday I did a one-minute exposition of that verse for a social media site. Hmm. It's one of the best verses in the Bible about peace.
Indeed.
And again, it goes to what we are thinking about, where our mind is. We've got to be aware of our problems, but we've got to focus on the Lord. If we're just aware of the Lord, but focusing on our problems, then, you know, that itself is a problem. We've got to have our minds fixed on him.
Friends, there's so much from this Philippians 4 passage, and Robert Morgan really breaks this down in his book, all these different habits, and it is really that which attacks this area of anxiety and calms that, to give us that peace, that calm, the winning that fight against worry in our lives. And we'd like to open our phone lines today. If you've got a question that you'd like to ask pertaining to this topic of discussion today, dealing with worry and anxiety, give us a call. Our number, 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. Or maybe it's just a Bible verse that you have that helps you as you go through a time of anxiety in your life. What reshapes your focus during this time? We'd like to hear from you as well. 800-733-9829. Brother Robert, we all, including myself, we like ready fixes. If I make this repair, you know, then I'll never have to do it again. But when it comes to anxiety, is it one and done, or is this a constant discipline that we must address?
It's a gradual maturing. We get, it's sort of like David when he faced Goliath. He said, you know, before, when I was younger, I had the lion and the bear that came, and the Lord helped me with them. So on that basis, I believe he'll help me with Goliath. So, you know, we face a lion and a bear, and the Lord gives us victory, and we know we can trust him, but then here comes Goliath, mm-hmm. and then here comes the problems of the kingdom. So for me, it hasn't been one and done. It's a matter of growing every day in the grace and knowledge of Christ, and I have to keep coming again and again and say, Lord, I need your peace. I need your help. And sometimes when a crisis comes, suddenly I'll go into a panic, but then the Lord will give me a verse of Scripture. For example, Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble.
Yeah.
And I just claim that, and it calms me down, and I begin to be able to deal with the situation.
Friends, if you have a question on this topic of anxiety or worry or a brief comment, we encourage your calls. Or if you just want to share a verse of Scripture, here's a Scripture that has helped me as I've gone through times of worry or distress. Our number here, 800-733-9829. Let's begin with Meredith calling from Spencer, Tennessee.
Hi. Yes, hello. Brother Robert, I'm so glad my Savior understands. He was troubled sometimes, too, like in John 11:33 with Lazarus. And I have a personal verse that I'd like to share. Romans 12:18, if it be possible, be at peace with all men. And that has helped me.
Amen. Thank you, Meredith, for sharing that. Robert, she brought up this matter of Jesus and a troubled heart that he had.
It's really extraordinary that Jesus in John chapter 14 said, "Let not your hearts be troubled." Mm-hmm. But just two chapters before, in John 12, he said, "Now is my soul troubled." And so the Lord did know something of what we feel when trouble comes into our lives, and that helps him to sympathize with us. But because he allowed himself to be troubled, he can say to us, "Let not your heart be troubled."
Meredith, thank you for your call here today. We're going next to Dave in Kenosha, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Great program, guys, and a verse that's been so helpful is casting all our cares upon him. Just cast them all on him, for he cares for us, and he'll help us, cope with our problems. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Morgan. That's 1 Peter 5:7, a very critical verse.
Well, and notice the word all. Mm-hmm. Cast all your cares. Peter could have said, cast your cares on the Lord. And we would have thought that was a wonderful verse. But when he added that word all, it made it universal and infinite. Yeah. So we can cast every single one, from the huge things that overwhelm us to the little problems that bother us. Cast all your cares on him, and he cares for you.
Friends, perhaps you're dealing with a matter and you just feel stuck in a rut and looking for some guidance or help. Pick up your phone, give us a call, or perhaps you're dealing with somebody and just constantly dealing with that same matter over and over, in anxiety, and looking for some godly insight. Our number here, 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. Greg is our next caller in Tucson, Arizona. Greg, you're on the air.
Well, God bless you, and thank you for such a timely and germane program. From Isaiah, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee." Mm-hmm. That means keeping our mind on Jesus. There's one pastor that puts it this way. He says, "I got three rules. Rule number one, look at Jesus. Rule number two, keep looking at Jesus. Rule number three, keep on looking at Jesus." Mm-hmm.
Amen. Thank you for that that passage there. And that, again, that's reshaping our focus, Brother Morgan, is keeping our eyes on the Lord, taking them off the circumstances around us. I think Peter found that when he stepped out on the water, too.
Well, he did. He had to step out by faith, and then he began to sink, but the Lord caught him. Mm-hmm. I would say to Greg, too, that Isaiah 26 is such a wonderful passage, but so is Isaiah 40. And in fact, the entire last part of Isaiah, from Isaiah 40 to the final chapter, Isaiah 66, is just full of verses that strengthen us and give us peace and strength and encouragement. It's a wonderful study to read those verses and those chapters.
"Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." What strength and comfort that gives us.
That's the first verse that I ever found on my own and memorized as a child.
Hmm. Friends, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back to more of your phone calls. Still have one open line yet at 800-733-9829. Robert Morgan has written this book just hot off the press. This month of September, it came out, Calm Your Anxiety, and our bookstore is featuring this as a book of the month at 50% off through September 30th. So it's just $9.99 plus any applicable tax and or shipping. It's available right now at vcy.com. VCY.com or by calling 1-888-722-4829. 1-888-722-4829. We'll come back to more of your calls right after the break. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. In the Old Testament, we see that one way God judges nations, particularly the nation of Israel, was he said that they would have economic crisis. They would have a crisis in their agriculture. They would have people losing their homes, and they would have invasions of their enemies into their land. Folks, we're not Israel, but there are only so many ways God can judge a nation. Apparently now God has given over America. We see all of these same things happening to our nation. Right now, I have to give you a warning. I'm talking to all kinds of regular experts like Michael Yon, Gordon Chang, Todd Bensman. These are men that are experts in their field. Publicly and privately, they are warning Americans are not ready for what's coming. We pray the Lord returns soon. He'll take us home through the rapture. But if not, I'm urging you to wake up and be aware of what's happening. There's a massive orchestrated invasion of the U.S. by people that hate Christians, hate Christianity, and hate America. Wake up.
Really a powerful book to help us maneuver past getting caught up in anxiety and worry. A book called Calm Your Anxiety. Its author with us today, Robert J. Morgan. He's put together just a wonderful package of books through the years, and this is his latest and a very powerful book as well. Let's go back to the phone lines to Apache Junction, Arizona. We have Andy calling. Hi, Andy. You're on the air.
Hi there. I wanted to thank you for your program and let you know the verse that I start every day is Matthew 6:33. It's one thing to memorize it, but it's another thing to believe it.
Yeah.
And because I believe it, it gives me the confidence. And in Proverbs 3:5-6, when I trust in the Lord with all my heart and lean on to his direction, I find that peace that passes understanding.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you so much for your call here today. Do appreciate it. And that verse from Matthew 6:33 reminds us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, Robert, that we worried about, going to be added unto us.
Well, on that passage in Matthew 6 is the definitive anti-worry passage of Jesus. He says, do not worry, do not worry. Why do you worry? What good does your worrying do? But seek first the kingdom of God. And so Andy chose a very good verse to give to us, because that comes right out of our Lord's teachings about we don't need to worry the way that we do.
Indeed. Okay, we have, Carmen is next from Bronx, New York. Hi, Carmen, you're on the air.
Hi, God bless you. I just came in from the dentist. My mouth is half numb, but I have the radio always on low. And I heard everything about calm your anxiety and about peace. I've been praying Philippians chapter 4 from 6 through 8 for over 30 years.
Wow.
So I'm also a writer. And I'm not published yet, but I've been writing for over 20 years. And the Holy Spirit in this last few months has been telling me and gave me this word, which was that I need peace to create. So listening to this broadcast today has given me such a source of strength and encouragement, because the peace of God that passes all knowledge and understanding, we need to know that as we walk every day through even our trials and circumstances, we need to know that the peace of God is with us.
Yes.
And it's with us always, even when we're going through trials and tribulations, even when we're crying out to God. No matter what we're going through, the Lord is with us, and he will never leave us nor forsake us.
Amen.
And I just wanted to say I'm appreciative of everything that I'm hearing today, and it's a confirmation to my life of the 30 years of praying this same word. So God bless you.
Wow.
Thank you.
Thank you, Carmen. What an encouraging call, Brother Morgan.
Well, and I just got in from the dentist myself, so we have something in common there.
Right.
But what she is saying is so true, and it's a matter of preaching to ourselves. Lloyd Jones said that so often we listen to ourselves when we should be talking to ourselves. We've got to be preaching to ourselves, giving us Bible verses, saying like the psalmist, why are you so upset, O my soul? Trust in God. And so using the scriptures, we can preach to ourselves during difficult times, and the Holy Spirit uses that in a tremendous way.
Thank you again, Carmen. We're going to move on now to Deborah in Zanesville, Ohio. Deborah, you're on the air.
Yes. There's a couple verses. I like Ecclesiastes, where it says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not nigh, nor the year draw nigh, nor shalt I say, I have no pleasure in them. And then also, I was young, now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken or seed begging bread.
Yeah.
I just hold on to them, because now I feel like I just graduated from high school. I was 18, now I'm 62. I think, wow, what happened?
Yeah.
But I just hold on to these promises.
Thank you, Deborah. Thank you so much. Great verses there, too, Robert.
I think sometimes the Lord gives us verses that go with us all through our life.
Mm-hmm.
Some people have a life verse, and I may too. If I had to give one, it would be Psalm 139, verse 16, about all of our days written down. But actually, I think I've got several life passages, and I just keep going back to them over and over and over again. And you know, Jim, we can never wear them out.
Yeah,
Deborah, we can never wear out the passages that we love. They just keep on ministering to us as long as we need them.
Indeed. We're going to one last call we're able to fit in today. This is Bonnie from Glasgow, Kentucky. Bonnie, you're on the air.
Yes, I'm not sure the exact place where this is at, but the eternal God is thy refuge. The everlasting arms are beneath us. He will thrust out the enemy. He will say, destroy them. I think that's Deuteronomy 32. Might be a book here or there off.
Mm-hmm.
But also calcium, magnesium. I used to have panic attacks. And when you just feel like you're really going to panic, that also helps.
Thank you, Bonnie. Thank you so very much. And the passage that she quoted there, Robert, again, another great, great verse of Scripture.
Yes, I think it's Deuteronomy 33, but it could be 32. I'll have to go back and look. But it is so visual. I go back to it again and again. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms.
Mm-hmm.
And she's right, too, about there are physical things we can do. You know, some exercise, some deep breathing, drinking water and staying hydrated. We have to take care of ourselves in body, mind, and soul if we're going to deal with anxiety. But all of the other things we do are of limited value if we aren't in the Scripture and using the truth and the reality and the presence of God through Jesus Christ as a foundation for helping us with the struggles of life.
And to give you a final 30 seconds here, what would you like to leave with our listeners here today as they consider this book, Calm Your Anxiety, and the help it can provide them?
The most important thing is that we know Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior.
Mm.
He died for us in history. He rose again bodily, physically from the grave, and it is in his death and resurrection and by his blood that we are forgiven of our sins, we have a relationship with God, we have the certainty of eternal life, and that provides the basis then for growing in the knowledge, the grace, and in the peace and serenity that he wants to give to us. It is all found in Jesus.
Well, praise the Lord. And again, what you found to be therapeutic for you in writing is going to be a help to so many, and thank you for putting this down into words that can be a help to the body of Christ.
My pleasure. Thank you, Jim, for letting me be with you.
Indeed. Well, Robert Morgan has been our guest today. The book is called Calm Your Anxiety, Winning the Fight Against Worry. Our bookstore is featuring it this month of September 2023, available at half off, just $9.99 plus any applicable tax or shipping. Available at vcy.com or by calling 1-888-722-4829. And no doubt, friends, you'll find it helpful for yourself. But you likely have others as well that will benefit from the writings in this book. Again, causing us to think upon the Lord and upon that passage of Scripture, primarily here, this book from Philippians chapter 4, 6 through 8. God bless you, folks. Thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.